Great to be here again. I'm going to speak for a few minutes on a few verses from Psalm 84. Okay, I watched a film recently. It's a great film. It was called The Way. There's a slide of it up there. And in it, the characters are on a pilgrimage. And a pilgrimage is simply a physical journey with a spiritual purpose. And they were walking the Camino de Santiago, which is in Spain. It starts on the French side of the Pyrenees, and it ends at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in Galicia in Spain. And it's a route of some 500 miles or 800 kilometers. So it takes weeks. You can just get an impression of the distance from the slide there. And people have been walking this pilgrimage route for centuries, and they continue to walk it today. And in the film, the characters are contemporary, so it's set in the present day. And they're not Christians, but they are walking the pilgrim route for all sorts of different reasons. And one of the characters is played by, or in fact the lead character is played by Martin Sheen. And to begin with, on this journey, he's so intent on getting to the destination, getting to the cathedral, that he walks very fast. And as a result, he's very focused. And as a result, he misses out on a lot of what's going on around him. He misses the beautiful scenery, he misses the companionship of other walkers, and he's actually not dealing with the deep sadness in his own heart. Now, to some extent, I identify with Martin Sheen. I walk very, very quickly. If anybody's tried to keep up with me when I'm walking, I power along quite quickly. And it's quite possible, in fact, that I've walked straight past you on the way up to Sainsbury's at the supermarket, not noticed you at all. Not because I'm wanting to be rude, but I'm just so focused on getting to the supermarket, I don't even see you. And I'm very much like Martin Sheen in that situation. I miss on everything that's going on around me. I can be in so much of a hurry, I don't actually take in what's happening. And I've actually missed out sometimes, I think, on what God wants to do in and through my life, even on a simple walk to the supermarket. We were having some interesting discussions in our group about long journeys. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, journeys are long and they're tedious and we just want to get there. I wonder how many of you have heard the refrain or maybe even said it yourself when you were young, "Are we there yet?" And, you know, children say that very often, don't they, when they're sat in the back of the car. We may not say it, but we often think it if we're on a very long journey ourselves, especially if we get delayed, you know, and our travel plans go to pot. And we think, oh my goodness, how long is this going to take? Am I ever going to get home? Are we there yet? But I want to suggest this morning that there are things that God wants to do in and through us while we're on the journey. And the destination, the journey can be as important as the destination. Perhaps he wants us to learn and appreciate becoming more patient, for example. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And it may be that sometimes things go wrong in our journeys just because actually we need to learn a little bit of patience. So Psalm 84 is a poem about pilgrimage, as we've just read together. People are traveling together on a long journey to worship God in Jerusalem. So they have a very clear sense of destination, and they're longing to get there and to meet with God. So they say, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty." They're thinking of the temple. They say, "My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God." They can't wait to get to the temple in Jerusalem. But at the same time, it's a tough journey, and it requires determination and strength to get there. Blessed are those whose strength is you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. It's got to be something you really want to do. And here's the interesting thing. The really interesting thing for me is that God wants to use them while they're on the journey. He has things for them to do. So he says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. So there's something that God wants to be doing in and through their lives, even while they're on the journey to the temple. And then they finally arrive at their destination. They go from strength to strength, to each appears before God in Zion. So I have just three very simple, brief points that I want to make this morning. The first one I've already alluded to, and that is we go on lots of physical journeys for all sorts of reasons. But whatever the purpose, the journey can be as important as the destination. And we need to be attentive to what God wants to say and do in and through us. And we can meet with God on that journey, however tedious or however boring or mundane it may happen to be. See, the great thing is that Jesus is Lord over everything and every aspect of our lives. And he wants to speak with us, walk with us, talk with us, make us fruitful, even on something as mundane as going to the supermarket. And I just want to ask this morning, are we alert to that? Are we attentive to what God might want to do in and through our lives? Or do we think, well, yeah, I'm not interested in this trip to the supermarket, so Jesus certainly isn't either. Yeah? If we're thinking that's wrong. You know, Jesus is interested in the mundane trip to the supermarket. He's no more here with us this morning than tomorrow on our journeys to school, to work, to the shops, or wherever it is we happen to be going to. There is no division, there is no difference in that sense. There's no sacred, secular divide. God doesn't divide life up spiritually in the same way that we tend to. So we need to bear that in mind, that God is at work and wants to be at work in and through the journeys, the physical journeys that we're making day by day. Second point I want to make is this. We're also on a journey through life. And that's what Caroline was alluding to earlier on. Some of us are just starting out and some of us are nearing the end. So statistically, I'm into my final quarter, which is a fairly scary thought. Three quarters of my life statistically has gone. The journey's over. I've, statistically speaking, got another quarter to go. But we all have a destination at the end of our lives. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know what your destination is? They were very clear on that pilgrimage in Psalm 84. Their destination was the temple. But what's your destination at the end of your life? As a Christian, I know what my destination is, and it's heaven. You know, Jesus said to his disciples just before he was crucified, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and if it were not so, I would have told you." So we can have great assurance as Christians about our destination. Our journey's end is heaven. It's not a physical temple, it's heaven itself, and it's the presence of God. And it's a life of unbelievable beauty and power and energy and excitement. We've got tremendous things to look forward to if we're a Christian this morning. And the Father longs to welcome us into his house. You know, he longs to welcome us into that house at the end of our life's journey. But he can't do so if we're not willing to admit that we've got things wrong, you know, that we've lived our lives independently from God, and if we're not willing to accept the penalty that Jesus paid on the cross for that independent living that's characterized perhaps our lives, perhaps is characterizing our lives today. You know, there can be no welcome unless we know that we're forgiven and that we're right with God. You know, God longs to welcome us, but we need to know that we're forgiven and that we've been forgiven through Christ's work on the cross for us. And it may be this morning that some of you are yearning for God, like it says at the beginning of the psalm. You've got that ache for God, that desire to meet with God, like the pilgrims. But you're not sure if you're really forgiven. And there's that kind of that sense, perhaps a sense of a barrier between you and God. Well, if that's the case this morning, can I encourage you to talk to somebody kind of later on in the service? There'll be an opportunity down in the prayer corner or after the service and kind of make that known. And we would love to be able to pray with you and help you to experience and know the forgiveness that there is in Christ. Maybe that's the step of preparation that God wants you to make today in terms of your own spiritual journey. Caroline was talking about preparation and next steps. Maybe that's the step that God wants you to make this morning. The final point I want to make is this. You may feel that you're walking through a very dry and barren place in your life. And the going is tough. It's like the valley of Baca in the psalm. And God is saying to you this morning that he wants to use you and to make you fruitful in that barren place. He wants to make your barren place a place of springs, and he wants to use you to do that. Sean was speaking last week about God positioning us for blessing. And it's the same point. God wants to position us for blessing. As we go through the valley of Baca, that hard, difficult place, then in that very place, God wants to use us and to bless us. God calls us to be fruitful wherever we are on our life journey. I had an interesting experience last week, actually. Many of you know Anne is here this morning, my wife's here this morning. Many of you know Anne has MS, and we have some carers who come in to help us each week during the day. And you kind of think, you know, it's a tough place to be. But, you know, one of the carers came in the other week and she said, you know, every time I come into your house, there's a real sense of peace. And she said, do you believe in spirits and ghosts and the afterlife? And we got into quite an interesting conversation for 5 minutes or so about spiritual matters. And I was able to share just a little bit about the confidence that we can have as Christians in heaven and in our final destination. We're in a, you know, Anne and I are in that sense, in a barren place. It's a difficult place to be, but God is wanting to use us and is using us in that barren place. And that's very exciting to see what God wants to do. I love the sense of the autumn. It says, you know, the autumn rains also covers it with pools. You know, they make it a place of springs. They make the valley of Baca a place of springs. And the autumn rain covers it with pools. There's a sense of God wanting to superabundantly bless and greatly add to the fruitfulness and blessing he brings through us individually. It's a wonderful image in the psalm of blessing in the midst of barrenness. So three very simple points for us to ponder on this morning. God wants to bless us and others through us as we travel through the barren places in our life journey. God wants us to be sure about our destination at the end of our lives. Our destination is heaven. And God wants to meet with us on even our simplest physical journeys, even the most mundane ones. And the journey, the physical journey, can be as important as the destination in terms of what God wants to do in our lives. So as we go on through the rest of the service, we're going to kind of be reflecting upon that a little bit more. And it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will touch your hearts and my hearts about the next step that he wants you to take on your own spiritual journey. We'll be thinking a little bit about that. Maybe there's a 1 degree change that God wants you to make, a very small change that God wants you to make in your life that actually over the long term will make an enormous difference.